Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers, of course. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Mr. William Triplett, who has written a book previously, The Year of the Rat. We interviewed him on that. But now he has a new book out. It's called The Rogue State, How a Nuclear North Korea Threatens America. Mr. Triplett, thank you so much for being with us.
It is nice to be on. It reminds me of Monterey, where I spent a year learning to speak Chinese a long time ago.
Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful location?
It is.
And, of course, if you look out the window where we are, just go outside the studio, you can look out that beautiful sweep of bay from where we are. We can look right across the bay directly over at Monterey and the language school that's there. Well, now, of course, you've written a book about North Korea, and so much of our attention is focused now on what's going on in the Middle East. But will you point out that this is a very real threat to America, and we're not really handling it very well at all, are we?
I think we're struggling. I must say that I am more optimistic than I was some months ago. And the reason I am is because at least one person in the administration, Ms. Condi Rice, the National Security Advisor, is beginning to look at North Korea as I think it should be. And what has got the attention of Ms. Rice and some of the others is the very real concern that the North Koreans might sell a nuclear weapon to a terrorist organization. And that certainly has everybody's attention.
Well, of course, apparently, according to your book, why North Korea got its weapons from Pakistan. Now, I find it so difficult to believe that we had no idea that Pakistan was selling North Korea nuclear weapons or nuclear technology, and of course that that North Korea was selling Pakistan and many of the other countries in the Middle East the technology to develop missiles. And of course, they obviously got their information from China, who got their information from us, and we were allowing our missile technology to go to China, and of course then it gets to Korea, and then it gets all over the world. Why would we do something that stupid unintentionally?
You have put your finger on it quite clearly. People do things basically for money, and that is a lot of where it comes down to. The Chinese leadership, I'm afraid to say, at the top is quite corrupt, and they make money on these deals, and so they make money on the deals selling directly or indirectly through North Korea or Pakistan or Libya or Iran or Syria, and all of that is bad enough. But as I said, what has really agitated people now is the deep concern over terrorist organizations.
All right, fine. In fact, in your book, you talk about how Kim Jong-il had actually worked with Al-Qaeda and with Osama bin Laden. Is there any, what's the background of that?
Well, that was a very interesting thing that I came across when I worked on the book.
All right, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought, because we're going to have to take a break here and bring some of our other stations on board. But when we get back, we'd like to get into the relationship between communist North Korea and, of course, the Al-Qaeda and the terrorist organizations that threaten the world and specifically the United States today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is William Triplett. We're talking about a new book that's just out by Regnery. It's called Rogue State, How a Nuclear North Korea Threatens America. And, of course, as well, our attention is focused on what's going on in the Middle East and Al-Qaeda and the recent bombing over in Spain. Mr. Triplett is pointing out that there is almost like a ticking time bomb over there coming off the mainland of communist China, and that is the North Korean communist dictatorship that has both missile and nuclear technology. And I was asking him, he mentioned in his book the fact that there seems to be a relationship between Al-Qaeda, the Islamic terrorist organizations, and this communist state. Would you like to get into that at all?
Yes, I think so. What we found was that the North Koreans and Osama bin Laden had a business relationship in arms sales with a terrorist group in the Philippines. Osama bin Laden was funding arms sales from North Korea to this group. Now, once you have this kind of a business relationship set up, the question then becomes, what goes down the pipeline? That is, and what can the customer pay for? If the customer can raise enough cash and the seller is willing to sell almost anything, then we have a serious threat.
In other words, you feel that there's a possibility that this might be a pipeline by which the terrorists would get hold of weapons of mass destruction.
Exactly. If you, sort of to kind of go backwards slightly, my cousin was killed in the World Trade Center, and I lost two dear friends, one of whom you probably know, Barbara Olson, in the Pentagon. And yet, all told, we're talking about perhaps 3,500 people being killed. If you set off a nuclear weapon in an urban area, San Francisco, San Jose, Los Angeles, even Monterey, you're talking much higher numbers of people killed instantly, and then you would have sort of an additional amount killed through radiation and poisoning and fallout. And this is very real. Dr. Rice was interviewed in the New York Times about 10 days ago. The New York Times last Thursday had an editorial on exactly this subject, saying that time is running out. Also on Friday, the New York Times had a front page story about how we're studying nuclear fallout again. And I don't think we did that last time. I think we did that was when I was a child. So all of a sudden, people are beginning to look at this in a very real way.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. All right, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is William Triplett, and we're talking about his book, Rogue State. And, of course, this goes into the background of North Korea. And he's pointed out during the break that there certainly is a possibility that North Korea could be the source of nuclear weapons going to the terrorists, perhaps through the Philippines, because there was a relationship between Osama bin Laden and the North Korean government in times past, where North Korea was providing arms to the Philippine Islamic guerrillas being paid for by Osama bin Laden. Now, the question that really puzzles me is why, since about 1994, has America been funneling money for food and free oil into North Korea? You mean our intelligence is so incredibly inept with our NASA and any other intelligence we could get? We didn't know that they were continuing to build nuclear bombs after they promised they wouldn't. And why would we, why would any intelligent individual believe anything a communist government said?
Well, certainly that was an issue in 1994 when I worked for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The Clinton administration came to an agreement with the North Koreans, basically their promises for our cash. And everybody thought that it wasn't worth the paper it was printed on. But there was simply was not enough political will, particularly among the Democrats and to some extent among the Republicans, to challenge it.
But of course, then, for all intents and purposes, since 1994 until recently, we have been keeping Kim Jong-il in power by giving him the food to give to his army, and of course by providing the oil to keep that country from falling apart. Because if we didn't provide it, they'd have to get it from communist China. I'm not sure that they would give it, and of course the whole country would collapse. We give it in the name of humanitarianism, but they're letting people starve to death there as a political tool, and we're financing the government that's doing that. That just is shows incredible ineptitude, or maybe something far more sinister.
I think at least ineptitude. We can agree to that.
All right. All right, fine. Well, of course, then, we know that they lied, and of course, they were continued working on their nuclear bombs, and of course, they almost are threatening the United States. I mean, if you say anything, or you try to do anything, why, we'll start, lobbing our nuclear weapons into Japan, and maybe even to the United States. So, it's almost like they're playing chicken with the United States.
I think so. In fact, a lot of discussion on the top guy is he crazy, or is he crazy like a fox? I'm beginning to think it's more crazy like a fox, but it's still extremely dangerous. I mean, it would be bad enough if you're talking about satchel charges and that sort of thing, but now once you start talking about nuclear weapons, then you're in an entirely different order of magnitude.
But of course, the points that you make in your book is that they could not continue to exist without help from communist China. And really, in many ways, North Korea, the wicked North Koreans, are really a satellite of communist China, and the Chinese sit back and say, oh, isn't it terrible what's happening? But that really isn't the case at all. Don't you believe that they know exactly what's going on, and they revel at what's the position they put the United States into?
I certainly agree. It's a classic case of proxy warfare. In fact, the Chinese have their own stratagem from 500 years ago, and it's called kill with a borrowed knife, and that's essentially what is going on there.
But of course, the problem is that we are in a very, very difficult position right now. One time, America was really the most powerful nation, both militarily and financially, in the world. We may still be one of the most powerful nations in the world militarily, but we're not financially. In fact, today we're having to depend upon communist China and Japan and Germany buying our debt so that this whole economy doesn't collapse. A couple of billions of dollars every day they're having to borrow. Fortunately, Japan's borrowing much of it, but the Chinese are borrowing it as well. Pardon me, are actually investing in our bonds. If they were to cut us off, why, we'd be in real trouble, wouldn't we?
We certainly would. And the difficulty, of course, is that we buy too much from them and they don't buy enough from us.
Well, then why do we do that? Because they keep up their tariff barriers. They keep up, you know, we say, how isn't it wonderful? We get all these free cheap goods from China, and then, of course, we send our goods over there, and this is free trade. But it isn't free trade because the Chinese communists are interested in their own economy, and they've got all sorts of barriers to our goods getting in. But they, of course, we have no barriers to their goods getting in. Once again, that seems like incredible ineptitude or something more sinister.
It's certainly, again, it's ineptitude, and it goes, it's not only industrial products, but it also farm products. We're now beginning to import agriculture products from China. The other thing is what they call intellectual property, that is, stealing people's ideas. Businessmen go over to China, they talk about a deal doesn't go forward, and then they discover that the idea has been stolen by the Chinese.
And, of course, but we actually subsidize our companies to go over there, and actually by special tax breaks, and then the Overseas Investment Corporation that actually gives very, very low loans, and then we guarantee our corporations that move over there that if their industries are nationalized, well, we're giving them the money back. It almost disappears as if somebody in Washington, D.C. wants to transfer our industries overseas. They make it so difficult for industries here, and, of course, they have the investment zones over in China that, of course, we can put our corporations, we just can't get our goods in, but of course that we can get our corporations over there and then bring the goods back here so that they can have this massive balance of pay of trade excess with us, and I don't see there's any way that we can ever export to them as long as we allow them to keep their barriers up.
I agree. That's certainly true, but I don't know. I have, frankly, fought against this for years without a lot of success.
Well, of course, what we need to do, I think, is get the American people angry. You make a point in your book that what we really have to do is put the pressure on China if we want to influence North Korea. But how can we put pressure on China today when, of course, we economically are growing progressively weaker?
I think it's all part of the same thing, quite frankly. I think we need to reevaluate where China is and where it fits into things with us. And we need to look at the whole issue of barriers to our trade and human rights issues and the military issues, without a doubt. But right now, I don't see Washington coming to grips with us, and that's both the Democrats and the Republicans. And I say this as a Republican. I'd like to blame the Democrats, but there's everyone to blame, basically.
Well, of course, Mr. Triplett is the former chief Republican counsel of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, 30 years of experience working on China and national security. So when he speaks with a great deal of background and understanding of what's going on over there. And, of course, you go into your book about the Clinton administration's appeasement of North Korea. I mean, there's certainly no other explanation for it, is there?
I think you're right. In fact, I hope your listeners can get a hold of the book and look at the pictures of former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. I mean, she's on all of the television shows tonight, and yet here are pictures of her holding hands and clinking champagne glasses with the most despicable despot in the world. You have to ask, did she know what she was doing? And if she did, well, why did she do it?
All right, fine. Well, of course, Mr. Triplett writes this on page 182. The question is whether the United States or anyone else can stop this criminal conspiracy. And he's speaking, of course, of North Korea. Before it kills millions. At a minimum, the United States needs to hold China fully accountable for its role in spawning the horrors of the future, because, of course, Mr. Triplett is very, very concerned about a nuclear war being spawned by North Korea, which really doesn't care how many people they lose. They're totally indifferent to human suffering. They have a totally different worldview. Would you feel that would be a safe thing to say?
I think certainly they do at the top. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the average person in North Korea has no choice and is victimized as well as the average Chinese person. But when you have these two communist governments who do what they want, that's where you are.
Yeah, and of course, this is one of the most ruthless dictatorships in the world. I mean, you said they may have starved as many as 3 million of their own people to death. And when, of course, the deer leader, that was Kim Il-sung, died, why, they spent $1 billion on a celebration while people in their country were starving. What madness is this, and what sort of people are they? But you say, you point out, they go to other countries, and they have kidnapped people from South Korea. They've gone into Japan and kidnapped girls, women, and taken them up there, and taken up people, both men and women from Japan, kidnapped them and taken them up there. And where is the outcry from the international community? Where is the outcry from our liberal leaders here in America?
I agree with you, that's for sure. I interviewed the brother of a young woman, age 13, who was kidnapped in Japan. And his sister was 13, and of course he's a man now of about 30. And it was clear that he deeply, deeply loved his sister and remains very, very hurt at what happened to her. The North Koreans say she committed suicide, but most people think that she was probably murdered.
And of course, how did they actually smuggle them out of Japan after they kidnapped them? I mean, this is incredible in this day and age.
Basically, they have smuggling boats there that are North Korean smuggling boats that come out of China, and they pull people out and kidnap them.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment or two with our special guest, Mr. William Triplett. We're talking about his book, Rogue State. It's just off the press now, put out by Regnery. Fascinating history of Asia and, of course, the various communist revolutionary movements there. You'll find it will give you a great deal of background and understanding what's transpired. Well, just hang on. We'll be back in just a moment with Mr. William Triplett, and welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention something that everybody in the listening audience should consider would be getting a kit from the Institute of the Constitution, so you can begin to teach people in your neighborhood, in your community, in your church about the foundation of our freedom, and that is the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Federalist Papers. Those are the four legs upon which our original government was created, and this is never taught in schools today. Most lawyers have never read the Constitution. At least they never read it in law school. They simply read what other people wrote about the Constitution. Well, the Institute of the Constitution provides you with 12 half-hour lectures by Dr. John Eidsmo, who's a professor of constitutional law, and of course, you put these programs on, you get a kit. Everything is there that you need to begin to educate people. And you don't have to do anything but have the video programs. Call 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. William Triplett. We're talking about his book, Rogue State. And, of course, it goes into the background of Korea. Goes into the background of course, the Korea after the Second World War. Goes into the background of the Korean War and has a lot of fascinating history. Certainly, it would appear that both the Communist government of Russia and the Communist government of China were deeply involved in that war where so many American boys died.
It certainly does. And I started looking at Korea from that time frame. And I went to Moscow, and that's where it began, with a kind of gigantic conspiracy of which the Korean War was part. At the end of the day, in a two-month period, late 49, early 50, Stalin met with Mao Zedong and Ho Chi Minh and Kim Il-sung, the first leader of North Korea, and others. And they decided to essentially unleash the dogs of war, if you will, on millions and millions of people throughout Asia. And the Korean War, of course, was part of it. Ultimately, tens of thousands of American soldiers were killed by the Chinese and the North Koreans. But a million people in Korea lost their lives as well.
And, of course, you point out that this was really a four-pronged attack. Part of that was the North Korean War, the attack, North Korean attack on South Korea. But part of it was the invasion of Tibet. Part of it was Ho Chi Minh, of course, in his effort to drive the French out and establish a communist government in Vietnam. And then, of course, the fourth part would have been the invasion of Taiwan. Would that be a fair appraisal of what you had said?
Exactly. That was the four-part war plan that they set up in Moscow. They were also helped, I point out, in Rogue State by having a number of British spies who were in the system and reading our intelligence and passing it on, first, of course, to Moscow and then to the North Koreans and the Chinese.
And you're talking about Philby, Burgess, and McLean, Meredith, right?
Right. Interestingly enough, I went to Moscow, and I went to Philby's grave. He was the number one spy and probably did the most damage. When he died in Moscow, they treated him quite well, but now his grave is overgrown with grass, and that tells you a little bit, too, I think.
All right. Well, of course, you really get a great deal into the background of the Korean War. You point out that the most incredible things the Defense Department and the State Department were saying, if South Korea is invaded, we won't defend it. And Harry Truman's giving talks and saying, if South Korea is invaded, we won't defend it. And then Dean Acheson, the Secretary of State, is saying, if South Korea is invaded, we won't defend it. Why would they say something that stupid when obviously they did defend it? Did they change their mind, or perhaps there was some other reason for making these incredible statements? Were almost an invitation for North Korea to attack, sort of like when April Glaspie tells Saddam Hussein, "Why, we don't care if you go into Kuwait. That's just a local problem. Has no interest in the United States." Was there a similarity between those two things, or
exactly.
Was this just coincidence?
No, it was exactly. In fact, it was even more explicit than April Glaspie. The Secretary of State at the time for President Truman held a news conference, and he put a map on the board, and he drew a map, and he said, well, we're going to defend this part, namely Japan, and we won't defend that part, which is South Korea. And you combine that public statement plus the statements by President Truman at the time and what the British spies were feeding Stalin to confirm all of this, and it would be impossible to find a more of a green line.
Well, then, why, if we made that statement, why did we turn around and defend it? Unless, of course, there was something duplicitous about what we were saying. In other words, we had one message, but that wasn't the real message.
I think they were just largely naive. I think they were also focusing on Europe and were not paying attention in the same way that recently people have been looking at one thing and not focusing on other things. If you look at the history, we've had a lot of intelligence failures, and it's almost always because we underestimated what could be done.
All right. Well, we seem to have really so many people, almost a consistent pattern of making mistakes. You'd think occasionally they'd make a mistake in the right direction.
I certainly agree to that.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here, and of course, when we get back, why we're going to welcome your calls out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Mr. William Triplett. His book is Rogue State. If there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to mention that we do carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we think that they really are very effective. My wife and I have used them for a couple of years now. I wouldn't be without my moisturizing soap, mainly because it's helped with a rash that I've had, and I really do believe it helps to keep the skin soft. And certainly we hear so many reports from the other people who use these products as far as rashes and acne, and we can't make any medical claims. We can just tell you what other people have said, and all we can do is suggest you try them, and maybe you'll like them as much as we do. There's the gel my wife uses on burns and aches, aching areas, and almost anything imaginable that seems to be very helpful. There's a lotion, there's a neutralizing solution, a regular soap, a moisturizing soap. If you'd like to know more, why, go to our website at radioliberty.com, or let me suggest that you go to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about the Miracle 2 soap products. And then we also, of course, carry something called Phonopoly. And this is a program that will teach you or your children or your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And the program is designed to play just like Monopoly. It's lots of fun to play. And when you do, of course, you'll find that in about 16 hours, you can undo all the problems that have developed in the schools, and you learn the 40 sounds of the English language, the six, the 12 rules of the English language, and you'll find that you'll begin to break words up, and you'll begin to use your mind as it normally should be. Phonopoly is a wonderful program. Most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This is $139.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask about getting a Phonopoly set. You'll be glad you did. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is William Triplett, and we're talking about Rogue State, his new book on Rogue State, and certainly Mr. Triplett has been the Republican counsel for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He served 30 years back there in Washington, D.C. He knows what's going on back there. Where do we really stand with North Korea today? Now, our attention is diverted elsewhere, but certainly they have the capacity to create missiles. Do they have the ability to create an intercontinental ballistic missile yet, or are they primarily intermediate stage missiles?
In 1998, they fired a missile that went across Japan, and the second stage landed off of Hawaii, and the final stage landed in Alaska. So that was the summer of 98, and we're talking almost 6 years. We anticipate now that probably you in the Monterey Bay area are within range, because we figure they've made that kind of improvement.
Well, I figure that if they're going to hit anything, it hits San Francisco. Because,
well, I understand. in which case, the fallout is a real issue for you. You normally think, interestingly enough, on fallout that it will just simply go from west to east. But I have looked at computer printouts from the CIA from Chernobyl in 1986, which would be similar, and it has a kind of swirl. And so being south of San Francisco and San Jose and other obvious military targets like that is not going to do you that much good. As I said, what they're worried about, actually more than that, is the terrorism side. But nobody is neglecting the actual missile firing, because the guy over there is pretty unstable.
All right, fine. And of course, they have then the ability to create intercontinental ballistic missiles. But of course, financially, how can they possibly do this without help from Red China or without help from the United States? Because we have poured a tremendous amount of money in there as far as food and oil is concerned, so that they could put their money into missiles, which just doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, they certainly have put their money into the military stuff, and
they don't have to worry about feeding them, because we feed them,
and
we keep them warm, and we keep their industries going with our oil that fuels their generators. And you know, I hate to keep coming back to this, but this really, I think every American should ask, why are we doing something this stupid unintentionally?
Well, that's a good question. I frankly don't have real answers to that. There are a whole series of things when it comes to those people. Why we do this, I don't know.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, now, how advanced are their nuclear weapons? Do they actually have the ability to explode a nuclear warhead? Certainly we know the Pakistanis do, because they were financed apparently by Saudi Arabia, so Pakistan has nuclear weapons, and of course I suspect that Saudi Arabia has access to them. It looks like Iran's getting their nuclear weapons today. But how far advanced is Korea, North Korea? Do we have any idea?
Well, frankly, just recently we now have some information on that, and frankly, the information is not good. The Pakistanis set off three nuclear tests in 1998, and two of them were what you would anticipate, similar to the kinds of things we did in Nevada in the 1950s and 60s, holes in the ground. The third one was a hole in a mountain. It was substantially smaller. We didn't know what it was, but now there's information coming out the laboratories that they're beginning to think that that was probably a North Korean nuclear test, but done in Pakistan. So you have a kind of joint venture between North Korea and Pakistan in testing a nuclear weapon. That then leads you to further into the whole pattern of these merchants of death that lead you to Iran and to Saudi Arabia and to Syria and to Libya, at least.
All right, fine. Now, when was this nuclear test that you're talking about?
1998.
Was that when Bhutto was in charge there? Who was in charge?
No, it was right before the current guy.
Musharraf.
Right, and it was Bhutto was early 90s.
All right.
But it was right before that.
Well, you know, the thing that really amazes me is that supposedly Musharraf is such a good guy, and yet he's let the father of the Pakistani bomb, who apparently was spreading the nuclear technology into Iran and every other place imaginable, North Korea, he's let him off with a pardon. And that's number one. And the second thing is, I cannot believe, with our intelligence spending all the billions of dollars every year it does, that we had no idea what was happening and where the nuclear secrets were and leaks were coming from.
I think we had some idea. What we didn't have is enough political will. Back in 1986, the Congress passed something called the Pressler Amendment that said to Pakistan, don't build a nuclear weapon because if you do, we'll cut off aid. And finally, during the first Bush administration, the evidence was so strong we had to cut off military aid to Pakistan. And it was cut off for 10 years.
And now we've made the most, almost like most favored nation. I don't know, it's not quite that terminology, but most favored nation as far as military purchases. Almost like a reward for your good service. Now, people are going to say, but we have to do that to back up Musharraf because, he is just holding on very tenuously to his position. But I'm not sure he's really our friend at all. Certainly, he will take our money and smile, but, his country is still full of radical Islamists who hate America.
That's certainly true. I would say the jury is still out on the general. He's doing a bit better than it was, and I think the administration is, to some extent, holding its nose and cutting what deal it can.
All right, fine. Well, what you're saying is that we're living in a very, very uncertain world, and the average American here has no concept that there really is a nuclear threat to this country. Is that what I assume that you're saying?
That's certainly true, and I would say the threat of a nuclear attack on the United States through the terrorist network is every bit as real as it was during the time when the United States was targeted by Soviet missiles.
But aren't we still targeted by Soviet missiles?
In theory, we are not. And
In practice, I
think they could. They're probably not targeted. We could be. They could be retargeted.
What about 3 minutes or 2 minutes?
True enough, but we could also do the same.
No, we could, but the question is Putin really our friend? Or is Putin perhaps helping Iran? Didn't Putin actually help Saddam Hussein immediately before the war here last year?
Putin is about as friendly to us as certain of our NATO allies.
About as friendly as Kim Jong-il? Anyway, I don't trust Putin. I think we live in such an uncertain world, and I think the American people are sort of lulled into a false sense of security like it could never happen here.
I think that's true, and it was very similar to what happened after the end of World War II. For those of your listeners who are of that generation, you remember we had the mightiest military ever seen. And we dismantled it. We removed about 90% of it in 4 or 5 years.
In fact, the most incredible thing is we had an anti-ballistic missile system. We could build it in the early 1970s, but shucks, we just can't figure out how to build one today. We dismantled it under Jimmy Carter, and of course then every effort to build a new anti-ballistic missile system has been blocked, and the one that George Bush is putting in now sounds really good, but I think it's got about 20 missiles, and chances are they're not going to work very well, and if we came under a missile attack from anybody, I don't know how many of those missiles would be brought down, but I'm sure it wouldn't be all of them. I mean, the Russians have something like, 7,000 warheads and at least 700 vehicles and then a couple of hundred missiles on their submarines. We've got 20 anti-ballistic missile systems that have never been tried, and there's a serious question whether they would even really work. What sort of madness is this again?
Well, I have to tell you, working in the Congress, it can be very frustrating watching people like John Kerry vote against defending America.
And, of course, he has been rather consistent in his opposition to any defense for America. You have to understand what's going on in that head of his.
His idea is that the United Nations should defend the United States and everybody else.
Well, of course, but is the United States in a position to defend us, or would we simply have to transfer our military to the United Nations? Is that the real plan, to have a world government that will, of course, then bring us ultimately world peace?
Well, it would be nice if it brought world peace, but the plan... Certainly, Kerry has espoused that kind of a plan in the past, and I've never heard him say, "Well, that was my idea then, and it was wrong, and now I have a new idea." I've never heard him say that.
Well, I think the frightening thing is there are a lot of people who feel this way. I mean, certainly, I think Kerry is probably the most radical left senator, and apparently he's about as far to the left as you possibly can get. But there are other people who feel exactly the same way, that they really don't want to defend America. They really want to defend America. They really want a world government, as if somehow that is going to solve all the problems of the world.
Well, there are a whole lot of people who are like that, and they don't.
Well, but I mean, what about the people in Washington, D.C., there in the Senate? Because you must have witnessed when you were there, you know, on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, a lot of these senators really paralleling the views of John Kerry.
Well, John Kerry, of course, was on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and for my many sins, I spent 9 years in his professional, you know, presence and watching him at hearings and briefings and so forth and so on. I do not have a high opinion of him. Now, of course, I was the chief Republican counsel, but I also did some work for the Democrats who were patriotic and so forth and so on. Most of us on the Foreign Relations Committee staff, whether Democrats or Republicans, thought Mr. Kerry was a phony at best.
All right, fine. Well, what's the message that you would like to leave with our listeners, from your book? I mean, certainly it's an excellent overview of history. It's a great overview of what's happened in the Far East. But what's the message? What can the individual do? I mean, we paint a pretty big picture here. You've got a psychopath in charge of North Korea who has intercontinental ballistic missiles, who probably has nuclear weapons. And, of course, he's just said to America, I don't care. You give me what I ask for. We're going to go right ahead and develop our nuclear weapons. And we obsequiously continue providing all these things for him.
I would say in one sentence, time is running out. And that is what Condoleezza Rice is saying, and even the New York Times editorial board, who I normally agree with. But time is running out on North Korea, and we're going to have to deal with it.
All right, but how can we possibly deal with it? The thing is that you suggest that we need to put pressure on Communist China. How do we put pressure on Communist China when we're dependent upon her for our financial stability of our country?
The first thing to do is to stop being dependent on it for start from there. Now, I think we need to look completely at our relations with Communist China and look at where it is part of the problem and not part of the solution. Right now, Washington is not at that point. They're still have their heads in the ground and mouthing statements saying that the Chinese are being so helpful in North Korea when everybody knows it's not true. So you have to first free the mind and understand what the problem is before you can go to a solution. There are some things that we can do. We haven't really talked about it this evening, but the North Koreans are targeting American young people in uniform in the Far East with drugs, and we can attack some of that. And there's some other things we can do. But ultimately, we have to understand the China-North Korea issue.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much. I really appreciate your being our guest. Our guest has been Mr. William Triplett. His book is The Rogue State, and I think his message is, like Paul Revere, we got a real problem, and if we don't do something now, tomorrow may be too late. Would that be a fair estimate?
That certainly is.
God bless you. Thanks so much, and I hope we can get you on some of our other programs.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Ben calling in here. Hi, Ben. Did you have a question or comment? Ben, are you there? Well, I guess we lost Ben. So if Ben wants to call back or anybody else, we've got about a minute and a half before we have to give out the program. But I think this is a very, very provocative book. Has a lot of interesting history in it. Of course, if you've heard my tape on Iraq, The Untold Story, we go into a great deal into the Korean War. And so many of the things there just don't make sense. We actually quote from General Douglas MacArthur's book, Reminiscences, about how the 7th Fleet was placed between Formosa, or we call it Taiwan today, and the mainland. And the 7th Fleet was placed there basically not to keep the Chinese communists from invading Formosa, but to keep the Formosan anti-communist forces, the Taiwan anti-communist forces, from invading the mainland. And because we had our fleet there, then they could take their Chinese communist army, actually two of them, up into Manchuria to bring them down to kill American forces. Now, how did the Chinese communists know that they would we would not pull our fleet out and leave their coast naked, and where a successful counterattack could have been lost. How did the communists know what American policy would be? Let's go to Ben here. Ben, did you have a question? Ben, are you there? Well, Ben, are you there? Well, we keep seeming to lose Ben. He keeps calling in, and then he drops off the line. So, well, it's there. And then, of course, the other thing that General MacArthur said in his book was the fact that they had intercepted information coming from General Lin Piao, who was the Chinese Communist general who headed the troops that came across the Yellow River. And, of course, General Lin Piao, who headed the communist troops that attacked American forces, said, "I would never have crossed the Yalu and risked my troops if I'd not been guaranteed that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from retaliating against my lines of supply." And so how did General Lin Piao know something that General MacArthur did not know? General MacArthur assumed he would be allowed to try to win the war. As he said, in war there's no substitute for victory, but you see, there have always been secret agreements carried out between the Chinese communist leaders and what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, which is the answer to so much of what's going on today. You must understand that there really are other forces working behind the scenes. So much of what goes on doesn't make sense unless you really understand the secret societies that exist and the relationship between communism and socialism and Rosicrucianism and theosophy and the dark spiritual world, the other world that is there. So if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And we'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. You really need to get to understand what's going on. You need to get our four tape set on the secret government, because there is a secret government that controls both political parties. And, of course, we simply track this back to its origin. We have a four-tape set on secret societies that gives you the history of all the elections going back to the time of Alf Landon right up to the Clinton presidency, and nothing has really changed since then. But this gives you tremendous insight into what's going on. It includes my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness and my talk, another talk that we've given. All of this information is available in our four tape sets. First of all, the secret government, and then the secret societies. We even have something we call the secret government special, where you'll actually get those 2 4 tape sets and books and videos and other information. We want you to get the information so that you can get it out to others. You have our permission to copy the tapes and copy the videos and circulate them. This is how we're reaching people all across America. Of course, your other job is to call people in other areas and get them listening. Now, our evening program, which, of course, many people in this area will not be able to get, but you can get it on shortwave from 8 to 10 here in the Pacific Coast, central part of California, on 5.745 megahertz. If you need a shortwave set, call us at 1-800-544-8927. But our evening program is available 8 to 10. You get yourself a good aerial, and you can hear the program. And, of course, that program goes to about 10 stations across America, as well as being on shortwave. But, of course, we need your backing. We need you to help getting people listening. We need to build up a good audience so that we can educate the people about the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged today. because if the American people don't understand, then America, as we know, will be lost. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. And if you would like to know more about joining the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you'd like a copy of our latest newsletter, that's the February newsletter that goes into the background of what happened on 9/11 and what led up to it. Our March newsletter, which will be out probably in 10 days to 2 weeks, tells you what Paul O'Neill, the Secretary of the Treasury, revealed about what was held at the set of the secret cabinet meetings 8 months before the terrorist attack on the United States. And there's so much information you're not getting through regular channels, and poor old Paul O'Neill is being demonized and marginalized and attacked regularly. Of course, now they're going after Richard Clark, who was the former czar of terrorism. He was the head of the chief official on terrorism in the United States, and he's tried to tell the truth, and now see how they're attacking and demonizing him. And after all, he has a friend who's a Democrat and an advisor to Kerry, and of course, you know what that means. I mean, obviously, if he has a friend who is an advisor to Kerry, then he must be a Democrat and want to defeat George Bush. And talk about McCarthyism. These people give McCarthyism a bad name. I think Richard Clark's just trying to get the truth out about what really happened, and the fact that no sooner had the Al-Qaeda attacked the United States, and Al-Qaeda, of course, was centered in Afghanistan, why Donald Rumsfeld wanted to attack Iraq. And when Richard Clark said, why would you want to attack Iraq? You know, it's Afghanistan where the problem is, and Rumsfeld said they're no good targets in Afghanistan, so let's bomb Iraq. And Richard Clark's remark was, well, that was just like after Pearl Harbor, if the President of the United States had attacked Mexico. Well, you know, of course, going after the wrong enemy. Well, anyway, we'll be discussing that at some of our future newsletters, but if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, you can, of course, get it. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We want you to go to our website at radioliberty.com, and there, of course, you can pull down our news programs 5 hours every day, and we want you to tell other people about that. We want you to look at the various items, because there's some items we sell, and if you buy those, why, it does help us. And we do sell the Big Berkey products, and if you buy them through us, you get a 4-tape set or a video set that we produced, just because this does help to subsidize our being on the air. And then, of course, you can pull down our newsletters. You have our permission to copy them and get them circulated. But we really depend upon you telling others about our programs, because that's how we're getting our message out all across America today. So remember, again, our website is radioliberty.com. Our shortwave programs are heard from in the Central Coast of California from 8 to 10 every evening, Central Time from 10 to 12 every evening at 5.745 megahertz. If you don't know the frequency, you can certainly go to our website or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We hope that many of you want to get the video, Diaprax, in the Church, the Story of the Church Growth Movement, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, the Story of the Third World War, which we are in, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, Iraq, The Untold Story, and so many other videos that we do have there will help you to better to understand what's going on today. Population control will help you understand why we're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic, and why they outlawed DDT, and why so many women have hysterectomies and tubal ligations today. Well, that's a whole different story. Please go to our website, radioliberty.com, and we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because behind everything going on today is a spiritual battle. There are those who would destroy as many human lives as they could. And lastly, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty. for our provision and protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.